Hi, welcome to In the Key of History, a program designed to explore and shine a light on emerging and established musical talent in the Istri region. I'm your host, Randy Piercy. This week, I'm going to share with you a very special young man named Samuel Andre Sangster. And I've been diagnosed with early adult onset diabetes. So I will be taking a break from producing in the Key of Istri and will be going radio silent. Not sure when or if I'll return. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you for all the support from family and friends, the artists. Hopefully in the future we'll be back on air. Thank you and enjoy. Hi, we're in studio today with Samuel Andre Sangster.
Hello.
And his father, Russell.
Hello.
Sam, are you originally from the region?
I'm originally from British Columbia, but I moved to Quebec in 97, and that's where I would spend the rest of my life here.
Right. When were you diagnosed with autism?
I was diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder not otherwise specified at the age of 3.
And when did you get interested in music?
Well, I think it all started with the movie Sound of Music. And whenever my mom would drive us to preschool, Hobbit Hill, she would play Duran Duran.
And when did you start playing an instrument?
In 2007, I think. My music teacher, J.F. Coley, and Mr. Chesney, I think one of them introduced me to bass. Because bass is I wouldn't say simple, but it's more of a suitable instrument for me because it has 4 strings.
Right. Does that also have anything to do with your manual dexterity?
They teach me to play basic notations and that we would find on Ultimate Guitar.
All right. And I've been to your place and you do have a keyboard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And did you get any instruction on the keyboard, or was that just pick it up as you go?
Well, it's basically picking it up as I go.
And how do you find playing a keyboard as compared to the bass guitar?
Well, it depends on how I play it.
When you got into, so 2007, that was 12 years ago, so you would have been 14 at the time, maybe?
Well, actually, I would be 15 to 16.
Right. So you would have been in high school, and you said you were going to music classes. So when you finished high school, you went to Champlain College, correct?
Well, yes. Technically, I've been to Champlain. There was a special setting for people from the Learning Center called the Collegium, which, to be fair, I wasn't pretty fond of it.
And why is that?
Because I wanted to fit in with Champlain as opposed to the Learning Center.
Right. Your time at Champlain, did you take any more music classes or lessons?
Well, there's this guy named Chris. I can't remember his last name, but he taught me to play Jack Johnson and a song that's not from Jack Johnson, Diamond on the Inside, which I can't remember.
And your bass playing, and were you playing just on your own? Were you playing with bands?
I was playing on my own. I got my bass guitar on Christmas 2008. The reason why I wanted to play bass in the first place is because of Fieldy. But not just Fieldy, but also John Gallant of Billy Talent. Fieldy is from Korn.
Would you say that was your transition into heavy metal around that age?
Yeah, but I was still developing some tastes.
Right.
Right.
Because I was just on your SoundCloud page today, and I mean, there's Carol of the Bells, which is an old Christmas classic. There's some other songs you're getting, but pretty much everything you've done is all in the heavy metal genre.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just trying to, you know, figure out when that transition comes, right? Because when I was young, I sang in a choir up till I was 15 years old. And then that's when Ozzy Osbourne, you know, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin. And
I think you're dating yourself.
Yeah, well, that's all right. We all get dated.
Of course.
So
I know Sam, in when he was at high school, and we were talking about this on the way over here, is his interest in music, but through computers, was as a result of the iBook program at Alexander Galt, or through the Eastern Townships. And we were talking about, or he was telling me that he got interested in loops. And so I had asked him what a loop is. I don't know if you wanted to explain that to Randy.
Basically, a loop is, it's this one thing that's comprised of melodies that you can loop over and over again seamlessly.
Okay. And I know we weren't aware that he was composing back then, and I think, so if we're saying, was it 2005, 2006? Huh?
I believe it was in 2005.
We'll be right back. Crashing Good Time? The inspiration for that piece of music?
Yeah, I really had no inspiration for that scene, for that song. It just came out from the heart.
Yeah. So he would have been 14 then, and this was a big surprise when we found out through his music teacher, Mr. Coley, that Sam had actually entered into a he may have entered his compositions, but there was a song that he had composed that ended up coming in, I think, in second. He came in second place for the whole school. That was the whole school. It wasn't just limited to, you know, people within the learning center, but it was actually through the mainstream as well. And you know, and I think do you remember what the name of that song was, Sam?
Yeah, it's the name of the song is "I Want an iPod." I was starting sophomore year.
Yeah. Anyways, it was very. I mean, I remember listening and reading the lyrics to it, and we thought it was really amazing, and you know, how Sam really took to music, and as well for him to express himself, you know, you're always, as a parent of a child that you know is having difficulty sometimes with expression. And to keep in mind that it wasn't just with Sam, but of course his older brother Michael, who was also diagnosed with autism. You know, this was for us. It was tremendous. It was a breakthrough, we've always encouraged Sam to continue. You know, with these interests, and I've always thought it was more than a hobby for him. It was like a passion. So, and anyways, you can ask him as well about him pulling me to the heavy MTL, the heavy Montreal. I think we've gone to about 7 of them over the last several years that's held on Île Jean Drapeau. And it's actually kind of gotten me to that.
During your time at Champlain, mm-hmm. did you have a favorite teacher or a teacher that influenced you the most?
I was taking film studies at the time and genre study as well. So my favorite would have to be the film study teacher. And I also did filmmaking study as well.
And I've seen your video, which I thought was really well done, actually. And what was that video about? What was the premise of the video you did?
What video?
The one you did at Champlain.
Oh, it was a short film called Mute.
What is the idea behind Mute?
It's an allegory to my social anxiety and how I didn't want to talk to anyone.
It was well done, Sam.
Thanks.
Really well done. From the time that you finished in Champlain, what have you been doing musically?
I've been thinking about some new melodies, and I've played guitar, and I had an electric guitar.
Right. 'Cause I was going through your music catalog, and Headbanger's Paradise.
Yes.
I actually really like that song.
Mm-hmm.
What was the inspiration for Headbanger's Paradise?
Well, the idea of the Headbanger's Paradise is it was inspired by my experiences to heavy Montreal. And being in a crowd full of metalheads, it's a neat connection. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you're part of the family.
basement dwellers, which is what you are now.
Yeah, that song title is a tongue-in-cheek song.
Yeah, in reference to
being a basement dweller.
And although, to be fair, he did move last year to the first floor, so he's no longer a basement dweller. But
oh, right, I forgot about the move to the first floor. Yeah, I really thought that was funny because when I was in high school and living in my parents' place, I had a bedroom in the basement.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. And when I had my house in Toronto, one of the first things I did was put an extra bathroom and an extra bedroom in the basement, and that became sort of like the place where the oldest teenager went, right? That's okay, I'm away from mom and dad, I got my privacy. Yeah. How often do you practice now?
Nowadays, it's hard to go back to playing because I need to practice more dexterity, and I gotta feel more motivated.
Right. Because you're still posting up music.
Yes.
And how are you writing that music?
I use a software called Guitar Pro, It's a guitar tabletation notation software. And the fun thing about it is it has the this cool feature called the realistic sound engine.
Yeah, it's because the guitar stuff sounds amazing on it.
Yeah.
You can tell, I'm trying to think of, your bass riff and other songs like that. You can see what's the terminology you would use? His preclusion to go to the bass because, some of the songs you can hear like three bass lines in there. And it's pretty cool. When you write or compose your songs, do you have a particular routine you like to follow?
Well, there's one thing I'd like to follow. The music comes first, the lyrics come later.
Right. And where do you draw your inspiration for the music?
From my head.
See, I like to I watch documentaries, and I take that person's story, and to me that's my inspiration, or reading a book. But
yeah,
do you have any particular things in your life that inspire you, or is this just what comes out?
Well, it's more from experiences than what goes through my mind.
Right.
And I'd also like to have a satirical approach to the musical content.
Right. You can see that in some of your compositions. There was a sort of video game. Yeah, well, you got Zelda in there, but there was another one. I can't remember. Kaleidoscope? Cole. The song Cole.
I take inspirations from other songs. I wanted a new challenge. I wanted to listen to bands that are completely under the radar. I would look up net labels, and I also do some exploring on Bandcamp. Well, and the song itself. The song title itself was named after a British model by the name of Lily Cole, which is, the song title's more like a working title. It's more placeholder.
Right. rock, Sam.
Yeah, I'm pretty amazed right now. I think half of the stuff that you've already just been talking about, I've not even heard that he's done. So, and this is the thing, like with for myself and my and his mom, he surprises us all the time. And so in a way, I'm very happy that you asked me to come down here with Sam, because it's you know, we do, like, I know we both like to look forward to spend that kind of time together when we go to the concert in Montreal. But it's really nice to hear that he's still working in music, you know, in the genre of in the area of music. And he's had dabbled with art as well, online digital art. I know you're aware of that as well. So he takes a lot of that from his mom. His mom's quite artistic. So I'm very happy to hear that, you know, he still has a joy for it. Anyways, I hear it in his voice. And, you know, this is radio, so you can't really see him, but you can tell when you've asked him these questions and he's giving you his answer. His face lights up. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks. Yeah, we also go to a writing circle together. So, yeah. It's a lot of fun, actually. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preferred place to write when you compose?
I prefer to be in my own safe space.
Where is that? Is that a specific place in your apartment or... Mm-hmm.
In my own apartment, and before that, I would be downstairs in the basement.
And that was your preferred writing area?
Yeah.
Yeah, most artists do have
I'm wondering, Sam, are you talking about when you come over to our place and then you go down and you're on the iMac downstairs?
Yeah.
Compose, is that what you're talking about with the basement?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And in the and you're at your place, like, do you have a specific place in the apartment at your place that you like to go and compose, or like what part of the apartment do you like to do that?
In a bedroom.
Oh, you'll do, okay, yeah. In your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I might have touched on this before in the inspirations, but and you talked about you like to use the tongue in cheek. In the music, do you have a preferred subject matter that you like to write about?
Well, for Tantalum, I want to write about social criticism, satire, cynicism, humor.
The song Tantalum.
Actually, it's a band name.
Oh, is that and the music that's behind it, is that your version of a song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or is that a completely original piece that you wrote?
It's a completely original piece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The name Tantalum is... It sounded more like a ridiculous name for a thrash metal band. I originally wanted to call it Tantrum, which is more tongue-in-cheek, but... I checked out the metal archives and there was already a band.
Called Tantrum?
Yeah, and I'm not risking a lawsuit with that one.
Right. we talked earlier about your some of your social experiences, like in Champlain and that, and kind of brutal, mm-hmm. especially with the woman. Even recently, you were talking about how you keep in contact with your friends from college and that, but you rarely actually ever get together, correct?
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
It must be absolutely, brutal to be in such social isolation all the time. Like, I don't know, how do you find it?
You know, it's pretty much dull and lonely.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Oof. Let's get on a lighter subject, man. It's breaking my heart. Do you have a favorite book that you've read?
Well, my favorite book so far would have to be Got the Life by Fieldy.
Favorite movies?
I'd have to go for Back to the Future.
Right.
Because Marty McFly inspired me to become a musician in the first place.
Oh, cool. Genre of film that you like?
Comedy, horror, or both.
Right.
Fantasy, surrealist.
If you could play in a dream gig, what would that dream gig be?
Heavy Montreal.
With who? Who would be backing you up, Sam?
We would be backing up Lich King, a thrash metal band from Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Lich King?
Yeah, Lich King.
And they would be backing you up. So you'd be up there headlining with the bass and they'd be playing behind you. Future goals.
My future goal is to be a filmmaker, screenwriter, musician, model, artist.
Well, you could do all those. He's a really handsome young man.
Yeah, it's the thing is that you know, his brother too, with Michael, you know, tall. He's that's all of my wife's side of the family, over 6 feet tall, and Sam's about my height. We're just under a shy of 6 feet. And you know, he's so extraordinary. People, you know, who have never had a chance to really, you know, having had an encounter with him or talk to him, to see him in a group, you wouldn't notice him, you know, being anything other than just another person in the crowd. And it's the sad thing that we live in a world of labels and how we tend to be so focused on people, you know, on our differences, when we should be focusing, I think, sometimes on, you know, what the special things that everybody brings to the table. And I think this, just talking about, you know, Sam's interests and his passions, obviously there'll be people out there that'll, you know, they'll definitely relate to what Sam is talking about their love, you know, whether it's for music or for anything else. And that doesn't change. We're all, in that sense, I believe we're all the same. And, you know, and it's, this is the thing that's, I know you were mentioning, you know, it was getting a little heartbreaking about the social isolation and you know, I think everybody deals with that at some point in their lives, and you can be typical or atypical. It doesn't matter. You're going to, mm-hmm. you know, deal with it. You're going to have to deal with it at some point. But Sam, I will have to say this, Sam, that, I don't think there's anybody, you know, that I know that, as well as I know you, how tough you are as an individual and how generous and kind of a person, that you've become, you know, into young adult. And I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, Pops.
Yeah. And, you know, the people that want to hang with you and, want to reach out to you, the reason I think is because they do see that in you, and those are the keepers in life, right?
Right.
So you've got nothing but good things, you know, waiting for you. If you want to keep, if you're just going to keep maintaining that attitude of being hopeful and, but just truly being yourself and enjoying, you know, what you're enjoying now, that like music, which is just amazing that we have music in the world. So, anyways, that was my. I didn't mean to hog your interview there, Sam, but I just wanted to point that out. That you know, you're very special, not just to myself and your mom and your family, but to I think the people that you've met out there too that are your friends.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Any advice you would have for other people, other autistic artists that you would like to share?
Well, I can think of a million things that I could give advice, but I'll just name a few. It's not too late to do anything you want. Age has no limits. So stop dreaming and start doing. Do whatever you can, and whatever you do, don't give up.
If you could go back in time, is there a message or something you would share with your younger self?
Yes. Be more tough. And please don't make the same mistakes I have made. And just be yourself. Just don't harm anyone.
I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Wish you the best, Sam.
Thank you.
Russell, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Randy.